Morning. Good Nav Shabbos. Thank you for coming. Like the weather. This week we're going to continue our discussion of Hashgacha Pratis, and I'd like to start with the pasuk in this week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Yud Gimel, Vasher Lo Tzadav Elokim Ina Liado. This is not on package, just an introduction. So, the pasuk tells us that the following thing happens, as the Gemara explains in Bava Kama. Let's say there are two people, one person who kills B'mezid, one person who kills B'shogeg, and none of them are punished because there were no witnesses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin that both of them encounter each other with the person who killed B'shogeg walking on a ladder and the person who killed B'mezid walking underneath him, such that the person who is deserving of death is killed when the person on the ladder falls upon him, and the person who killed B'shogeg will have to go to Galus as he's obligated to do. And that's what the pasuk says, Vasher lo tzadav Elokim ina liado, meaning to say that if someone goes ahead and kills somebody, even he kills it B'shogeg, that is hashgacha. It's both hashgacha mitzad the killer, the person on the ladder, and it's also hashgacha mitzad the person killed, the person under the ladder. And what you see here, what the Gemara presumably is telling us, is that even though from our perspective there's no obvious hashgacha, there's nothing abnormal, one guy's going up a ladder, one guy's walking under a ladder, and the like, nevertheless, hidden here is hashgacha. If somebody is killed, it's because they should have been killed, and if somebody kills, it's because they're chayv to go to galus for something else. So what the Gemara is alluding to is the nature of hashgacha insofar as it's hidden in the world. Things that aren't obviously nisim and the like are in fact hashgacha. Now, as we already saw last week when discussing the position of the Rambam, the nature of this hashgacha is quite complex, how it works. In fact, the Rambam writes, this is on page 5, a source we didn't see last week, at the end of Mor Nevuchim, that Sheshlemus Adam Asher Bo, this is the end of the Mor Nevuchim where he's telling us, in a certain sense, the purpose of the whole book, the purpose of life. The pasuk says, Ki im bezos yishalel ha-mishalel, haskel ve'ado osi, ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz, ki va'elo chafatzdi ne'um Hashem. So the Rambam is picking up on the fact that it says ba'aretz. And he says, we'll start, v'hosif inyan acher tzarich me'od, v'hu amro ba'aretz, asher hu kotev ha-Torah, v'lo b'machsheves ha-horsim sheshibchu shehashgachaso yis'aleh kolsa etzel galgal yareach. Again, Rambam stressing, not like Aristotle, who believed there was no hashgach in the sublunar realm, v'sha'aretz umah sheba ne'ezav, azav Hashem es'aretz, eino rak kimo shebir lanu yad adon kol hachachamim, ki la'shem ha'aretz. Skipping, and then he says, im kein, this is the whole purpose of existence. Hakavana sher zachra b'zeh pasuk hu b'oro sheshleimus ha'adam asher bo yishalel b'emes. The true shleimus for which someone should be praised, hu lagia el hasagas Hashem kefi ha'yecholas, to understand God to the extent of his ability, the ladas hashgachaso b'bru'av b'hamtzi'o osam v'hanhigo osam echi, and to know the nature of hashgacha from God upon his creations. V'lalachas achareha hasaga hahi b'drachim shiskaven b'am tamid lasos chesed u'mishpat u'tzdak. And then to use that knowledge, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of hashgacha, to do chesed mishpat u'tzdak. The Rambam here says a remarkable thing, that the purpose of our existence on the world is to recognize and to understand Hashgachas Hashem. And this, of course, is reminiscent of the Ramban's position, which is what we're going to begin with today, Shitas HaRamban on Hashgachas. We've already seen it's one which isn't so simple and quite complex. We'll start with the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, which you could find on your sheets on page 34. We won't read through the whole thing, though you should definitely do so on your own. Besides the discussion of Hashgacha, it's extremely important in many senses. There are more source sheets in a box if anyone needs. And the Ramban writes there that the reason why there are so many mitzvos concerning Yetzias Mitzrayim is because it's through Yetzias Mitzrayim that we become aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, his Hashgacha in the world, and that is why we are always asked to recollect that through the various mitzvos which are Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he says that even though we don't have Nisim Geluyim such as those that took place during Yetzias Mitzrayim regularly, on 34 in the box, from the Nisim HaGedolim, HaGeluyim, so we are able to recognize the Nisim HaNistarim. Nisim HaNistarim, presumably, is the Hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in ways which is not overtly supernatural. So, to go back to the example we started from at the beginning of today's shir, from this week's parsha, v'asher lo tada v'elokim yina liyado, the pasuk's telling us that is hashgacha, that's a neis nister. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and makes sure that the person who's chayv galus is in a scenario which forces him to actually practically go to galus, and so on and so forth. And then he says a very powerful statement, she'en la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenamin b'chol devareinu u'mikreinu shekulam nisim ein bahem teva u'minhago shel olam. A person has no chelek in Toras Moshe until he believes that all the things that happen to us are nisim. There's no such thing as teva, there's no such thing as minhago shel olam. This is true bein b'rabin, bein b'yachad. Don't just think that there's hashkacha for the rabin, like in Parshas B'chukosai, but even for a yachid. Ela im yaseh ha-mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo v'im yavur alein yachrisenu onsho hakol b'gzeres elyon. So this Ramban is an idea that he repeats in a number of places, and if you look here at the section in your source books on Ramban, you'll see there's about 10 different Rambans, and whenever you have a complex Ramban, the best way to understand it is, of course, to look at all the places where he discusses the topic and study them together, compare, contrast, just like when you're learning Cheskes Sabbatim, you have to put together all the different Rambans and compare them and contrast them and figure out how they work together. So too, on this topic. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not easy. In fact, the position of the Ramban about Hashgacha is one which is fiercely debated. It's quite unclear. Somebody told me that Rabbi Tursky mentioned to them that one could spend an entire lifetime trying to resolve the seeming contradictions that arise in the Ramban. However, one thing I think is certain, and that is there is no contradiction. Whether we figure out the resolution or not, I don't know. But the reason why it's not a contradiction is, first and foremost, it's the Ramban, but even more so, the Ramban writes both of the positions in so many places. Again, in your sheets here, you see four or five places where he articulates each position, and each time he says it extremely forcefully, saying things like, Ein lo chelek b'taras Moshe. And presumably, if he contradicted himself, it'd be very strange that he would think of himself as having no chelek in Taras Moshe. So, whether or not we come to an understanding, and we'll make some suggestions, I think it's certain that it's not a true stira or the like. So, where do you see otherwise? So, there are a number of places where the Ramban seems to imply something else. The most famous one is probably in Bereishis Perek Yud Ches, which you could find on page 36 of your sheets. There he writes on the pasuk, "Ki yedativ lemana shartzaves banaves beiso acharav." Hashem says that I am yodeya as Avraham because I know of his righteousness. So, what does "ki yedativ" mean? Says the Ramban, "Vanachon beinai hi yedia shehi yediya bo mamish, yirmoz ki yediyas Hashem shiashkachaso olam hashafel, the yediya of Hashem, which is his hashkach, an idea that we saw earlier in the Rambam as well, ki lishmor haklalim, it is to preserve the species or to offer general guidance. V'gam bnei adam unachim bo lemikrim ad bo eis pikudasam, and people are left to mikra until they die or until they're remembered. So immediately we're struck by the contrast between what he says here and what he says in Shmos. Here he says that people are left to mikra. Aval bechasidav yasum elav libo ladaso so befrat lioshmi raso davka bo tamid lo ti pared hayedia v'hazachira mimenu klal ketam lo yigara mitzadik enav. Whereas when it comes to the chassid, when it comes to the tzaddik, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has constant vigilance, his eyes, as it were, are always upon them. He never takes his eyes away. And there are many psukim that indicate this. One is this pasuk, Yedativ. Another is the pasuk in Iyov, Lo yigara mitzadik enav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow his eyes to depart from those that are righteous. Hinei ein Hashem el yireyav. God's eyes are upon those who fear him. So, again, at first glance, superficially, we have an overt contradiction. Here he says there is such a thing as teva, and you'll say, well, he doesn't use the word teva, but he does use the word mikra. And elsewhere, when presenting this very same idea in the pasuk in Iov, in Perek Lamed Vav Zayin, which you'll see, it's on page 37, he does use the word teva. So, how are we to resolve this contradiction? The first yishuv I would like to present, and as I said, to fully appreciate the contradiction, you have to read all these sources, is based on what he says in the Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, which is found on page 35. The Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima is one of his sermons. It was given... It is printed in the Chevelle edition of the Ban, and it's a very, very important work in the sense that it presents many of the ideas that he said elsewhere, sometimes in ways that are clearer, perhaps, than where he said them in the Perush al HaTorah. So he writes, V'nachzor l'inyanenu shehayinu bo levayer ki anisim morim al chidush v'al hashkacha v'al yediyah, like we saw before. Nisim indicate God's chidush, meaning to say the fact that the world was created yesh me'ayin. As we saw, the Rambam already pointed out that if we assume the Aristotelian position of the eternity of matter, so then there is no place for Nisim. Now, a very important thing to remember when studying the Rishonim is that you see again and again in the Rambam, in the Ramban, and in all of the Rishonim, in the Ran, in the Sefer Ikrim, they're always contrasting their position to that of Aristotle. They lived in a world in which this notion of Hashkacha, Nisim, Bria Yesh Me'ayin was one that was challenged, and it's one that was... It's one in which the position that these Jewish thinkers are taking was at odds with the mainstream philosophical position. L'masha l'ma davar dome, it's like nowadays going ahead and saying that evolution or random evolution is wrong and the like. If you're certainly in the broader world, so that those ideas are almost taken as dogma in certain circles. And to counter them, at least depending on who your audience is very surprising. Some people, once you start questioning those types of dogmas, they won't even listen to you because they think you're some obscurantist barbarian who's stuck in the 19th or 18th century or from the South or something worse. So there's a similar milieu at the time of the Rishonim. That's not to say everybody else in the world held of this. As we saw before, there were Muslim philosophers who also believed in creation. But that was, in many senses, the dogma of science and philosophy. People presumed that it was proven. Now, as we saw last week, the Rambam says, no, this has never been proven. Aristotle submitted that this is the case, but it's not actually something that he's ever proven. But we have to keep in mind that that background, and that might explain the way they present their positions to some degree. So again, the Nisim in the Torah indicate that God created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. They indicate his providence, and they indicate his knowledge, namely to say that God is aware of what's going on in the world. Ratzalomar Yediya Sapratim, not just a general knowledge, but particular knowledge. Kia Yediya Kodemes Lashgacha. Umipnesha Nisim Hagdolim Hamifursamim Hamishaskin Ktane Amuna Enam Nasim Bacholdor. Here he uses language that's almost identical to that in Parshas Bo. Because the overt miracles which silence those heretics are not things that are done regularly. Therefore, we should do actions that recollect those miracles. We see the severity which the Torah takes these mitzvos through the punishments that it offers. Someone who does not partake in a carbon Pesach is chayv kares, despite its being a mitzvah saseh. If you eat chametz, you're chayv kares. Why was the Torah so severe? Because the mitzvah is so important in the sense that it's mashrish these ikari emuna. V'tziva kasva inyan b'mezuzo sabatim. There are so many mitzvahs that indicate this. One of them is mezuzo sabatim. He says the same thing in Parashas Bo. It's a little strange. It's not obvious what a mezuzah has to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Perhaps we could talk about that on another occasion. Ulaniach inyan hakasov bizro'o keneged alev, alrosho keneged amoach, markeves haneshama, tfilin shel yad, tfilin shel rosh, ulahazkir bo b'chol yom, bepeh, mitzvah sezichiras yitzias mitzrayim every day. V'yadua, ki ha'osa mitzvah b'lo kavana, o mishelo yizbonen ba, lo asa b'shlemus. It's important to recognize that if someone does a mitzvah without kavana, they have not done it b'shlemuso. Why? Because if the purpose of the mitzvos are to cause us to remember certain things, and we do them without kavana, so then they haven't achieved their purpose to a large degree. If a mezuzah or tefillin are meant to cause us to recollect Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bria Yesh Me'ayin and Hashkachas Hashem and Yediyaso, and we don't actually do them with any sort of kavana, so then we haven't achieved the purpose of the mitzvah. Avala miskavein ba, kigon, kana mezuzah bedinar. Apparently mezuzahs in the olden days used to be a little cheaper. Akava bepischo v'niskavein lehizbonein ba uv'inyana. But if you buy the mezuzah for a dinar and you put it up and you think about, I'm putting this mezuzah up, zeichel etzias mitzrayim, hinei, by doing so, you've essentially acknowledged these important principles of faith. Moreover, it implies God's kindness to those who fulfill his will. B'mitzvah kala hora b'chol sharshei ha'amuna v'ashlemus. V'hinei nizbarer, ki anisim ha'mefursanim shayu b'yatiyas mitzrayim morim al achidush v'al yediyah v'al ashkachah v'al kenet stavinu lasos lahem zichron al havanim b'mezuzos ha'psachem b'yatiyah uviya. It's important when you leave and enter the room to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, as along the lines of what the Rambam says. Uvitfilin b'rosh v'zro v'kriyashma bokev erev v'sukkah v'pesach v'chol kiyotzi b'zeh. Nimtzu ha-mitzvos kulan chamudos me'od v'chavivos shekol sha'adam roeh o oseh san boda lelokav. Hu kavanas ha-yetzira. She'ein tam acher b'yetzira sa'adam v'ein lelokim chefetz b'tachtonim rak sh'yeda adam v'yoda lelokav sh'birao. You need a giant like the Ramban to say a statement like this. The whole purpose of creation, there is no other reason other than for man to acknowledge God and to show his gratitude to God for his creating him. Perhaps another time we could give a shiur on the purpose of the creation of the world, surely you're aware that there are various sources that seem to indicate different things. Some sources say, Kol shebarasi lechvodo barasi, it's lechvod Hashem. Other sources that talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creating the world in order to be meitiv. This Ramban falls under the first category, but it implies, at least without further, superficially, a very egocentrical God, Rachmana Litzlan. The Pashut Pshat is, and again, there's more to analyze, but the Pashut Pshat is they're presenting two different perspectives. Now, we can't really present HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective at all, but Kefi Havanasenu, the only reason for the creation of the world that we could imagine mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be lehetiv, because he's chaser nothing, and therefore whatever he created was lehetiv. And there are midrashim to this effect. This position is expressed succinctly in the beginning of Sefer Mesil Shesharim, as well as other sources. Whereas what the Ramban is saying is, what should our perspective be? Not God's perspective, but our perspective. Well, our perspective is to be mode and to be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to serve him. V'kisha'anu me'aynin yafeh, anu ro'im, she'en la'adam chelek b'toris Moshe Benu alav ha'shalom, ad sh'yamin she'chol d'vareinu ma'aseinu kulam nisim. Again, identical lashon to what he says in Parshas Bo. En b'hem tevo min hago shalolam. There is no such thing as teva. Sharei, yi'udei ha'torah kula nisim mosim gmurim heim. The rewards, the promises of the Torah are all miracles. What he means to say is that when you look at the Torah, let's say Parshas Bechukosai and the like, so when the Torah says that a person who follows the word of God will be blessed with bounty and prosperity, rain and dew, so that's clearly an indication of Hashgacha. After all, nobody would say that Teva is such that Osei Ritzono receive dew, and those who don't receive drought. Now, the truth of the matter is, there are such thinkers who actually make that claim, not like the Ramban. They assume that, no, built into the Teva of the Bria, as it were, is this notion that there is Hashgacha for those who do Ratzon Hashem. However, the Ramban says, no, of course not. Teva does not discriminate between Tzadikim and Rishayim, and thus, the Yehudei HaTorah clearly indicate this form of Hashgacha. Ki rov bnei Adam svurim she'ena el po'el tamid benisim ela olam kemin hago noheg. Here he refers back to what we said earlier. However, most people in the world presume that there is no such thing as Hashgacha. The world is kemin hago holech. V'chein sovrim rabim min hachachamim balei ayun v'harav michlalam. The Rambam himself makes this mistake, at least to some degree. Ukshanu ma'ainin yafeh anu roim she'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, alav ha'shalom ha'chiyamin she'kol dvareinu ma'aseinu kulam nisim ein b'am tavo menhago shel olam ki im ne'mar she'hateva hu mechalkel hakol v'hu po'el ba'olam lo meis adam v'lo chaya b'avur z'chus u'chova. If we were to say that Teva is Mechalkel HaKol, so then it would never be the case that a person dies because of sins or lives because of their righteousness. Now here I think perhaps we see the beginnings of a resolution. What's his proof? What is he out to reject? He's out to reject that Teva is Mechalkel HaKol. It's all powerful. It's controlling everything. In other words, the notion that there are some occasions in which people are rewarded through Hashgacha for the good deeds that they do, or punished through Hashgacha for their wicked deeds, is an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Poel that Teva, I'm sorry, is not Poel HaKol, it's not Mechalkel HaKol. In other words, what he's coming to reject fiercely is the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashgiach at all, and rather all of the events that take place on the world are Teva. And that is Keneged Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone who says that is kofir b'taras Moshe. Ein lo chelek b'taras Moshe. Because if you were to say that Teva is all-powerful, then all sorts of parshios go away. Parshas b'chukosai, and Sefer Bereishis, which talks about dashgacha to the Avos, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the like. Anyone who is to say, as Aristotle and others said, that there is no ashgacha, that Teva is mechalkel hakol, such a person is clearly and unambiguously keneged Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Rambam is saying. The Ramban is saying. And that's why, if you notice, in all of his proofs, whenever he says, anyone who says that there is, anyone who denies the idea of Ashkacha, in lo chelek b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu, the proofs that he brings are never proofs that indicate that absolutely every single positive thing are b'ashkachas Hashem. Rather, they're proofs that there's such a thing as Ashkacha in general. Thus, if that's the case, then what he says in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Ches, is not in contradiction to what he says over here in Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, or in Parshas Bo, because what he's saying over there is that there are different levels of Ashkacha. Tzadikim receive more Ashkacha than Beinonim. There's more Ashkacha in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz, as he says elsewhere. There is a difference in Hashkacha between the Tzibur and the Yachid, as he says elsewhere. So the Ramban does not mean to say that there's no such thing as Teva. What he means to say is that Teva is not all-encompassing. It's not Mechalkel HaKol. And if that's the case, then the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the Nisim of Parshas Bechukosai, certainly prove that. Now, we still have to analyze, because his Lashon in Parshas Bo is quite strong. Is that all he means to say? So we could add to that a couple of additional points. Number one is that when what emerges from this analysis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes leave a person to Teva, such as the Beinoni. The Tzaddik will constantly be protected from Teva, as the Pasuk says, Einei Hashem El Yireyev, like he says. However, the Beinoni will sometimes be left to Mikra. Now, being left to Mikra doesn't mean there's no Ashkacha. What it means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves him to Mikra. It's a conscious decision to leave the forces of Teva to have power over that person. That doesn't mean to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be Mashkiach. No, we know he can be Mashkiach, and when he wishes to be Mashkiach, he is Mashkiach. And even for Beinonim, surely there is Hashkacha. However, there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves them to Teva and allows them to exist within the realm of Teva, and in a certain sense, that's almost like a punishment for their not fulfilling their potential and becoming the chassid that they could become, in which case they would entirely be protected from Teva. Yes? Good question. We'll get to that in a moment.
It's a very similar position.
It's very similar to the position of the Rambam. And not only that, but he quotes the Rambam at length positively in certain places. Just to give you an example, if you take a look at the Ramban on page 37, which is from Eov, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zion, on that Pasuk that he quoted in Bereishis, so the Ramban at length, I don't think we should read this whole thing now, more or less quotes the Rambam verbatim from Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam we read last week, right? Ze kasav mifaresh inyan gadol binyan hashgacha, uvo bo psukim rabim, ki anshei haTorah v'emuna tmima, yaminu b'hashgacha, ki akel yashgiach v'yishmor es anshei min ha'adam, kimo shekasav gadol leitzav rav halila sh'reinecha b'kuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam, lases la'ish kidrachav, v'amar David kol v'avos, skipping to the bold, ki adam mipneishu hu makiras alokav yashkiach elav yishmor oso, mankind, because he is makir es elokav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach upon him. This sounds extraordinarily Maimonidean. That's exactly what the Rambam says. V'chein kol shar brios she'enu yodim baram she'enan yodim baram umin hatam hazeh yishmor es atzadikim, exactly like the Rambam says. ki kasher libam ve'enem tamidimo kein enei Hashem aleihem me'reishis hashana ve'adach reshana mida keneged mida. If because the tzaddik is always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol is always mashkiach and thinking about the tzaddik. Ad ki achasid hagamor davek belokav tamid ve'lo yipared הדבק במחשבתו או בו בעניין מענייני עולם יהיה נשמע תמיד מכל מקרי הזמן אפילו ההבים בטבע. The tzaddik gamor who never ceases to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is entirely protected from teva. Again, you see here the Ramban using the test word teva, the thing that he said before, that anyone who believes in it has no chelak in Torah's motion. Here he's saying that it's a tzaddik gamor who's davek b'Hashem b'chol eis va'eis is nishmar from teva. So not only that, but the Ramban, if you continue reading here, says, and this is exactly what the Ramban wrote. So the Ramban's position is clearly not so far from the Ramban's, because he quotes it very positively. And lest you say again that, well, this is Eov and he forgot about what he wrote in Bo and Drashas Tarshish and Tamima and the like, in the Hakdama to Sefer Eov, which you have in your packet as well, we're not going to read it now, he again uses the identical Lashon to Parshas Bo. So in the very same work, he has both theories. And thus, as we're suggesting, there can't be a contradiction. Another attempt to reconcile these Rambans could be found in Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya frequently quotes Ramban in his commentary on the Torah, and thus is helpful in terms of figuring out Rambans. And if you take a look on page 36, footnote 62, you'll see Rabbeinu Bachya, who writes in his explanation of the Ramban, and he writes explicitly, this is the view of the Ramban, I'll read from the bold, "V'charech she'taskil ki ha'ashgacha ba'olam ha'shafel b'min ha'adam hi klalis upratis upasuk malehu gadol ha'itza v'rav ha'lila sh'arinecha b'kuchos ha'kol darchei b'nei adam v'aseis lishkid rachav u'v'shar balei chayim hi klalis." In other words, when it comes to mankind, there is hashgacha pratis. When it comes to animals, there's general hashgacha concerning the species. Lo pratit rak bichlal kedei l'kayim amin. The hashgacha is to make sure that the species continues, but it's not individual providence. V'hashgacha pratis shebimin hadam nechlekaj l'shnei chalakim. The nature of hashgacha that is upon mankind is divided into two categories. Meaning to say, yes, there's hashgacha pratis on man as opposed to animals, but there's two categories of hashgacha. Number one, hashgacha bo leida kol pratei ma'asav u'machshevosav, v'ashkacha bo lagen alav ulatzilo min ha-mekatregim. Number one is yediya, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach, i.e. that he's yodeya pratei ma'asav u'machshevosav. Absolutely, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about what's going on in the world, all the details concerning mankind, even his thoughts. And that's one category of hashgacha. And the second category of hashgacha is protection from mikra, is this higher level of category of hashgacha, not just knowledge, but protection from mikra. Hashgacha bo leida kol pratei masav hu b'chol adam Yisrael, omin almost. The first category of hashgacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what's going on, both in our hearts and in our world, that is something that is applicable to every single human being, whether Jewish or non-Jewish. But hashgacha bo lehatzilo min amikrim ein ze b'chol adam afilu b'Yisrael v'afilu b'Yisrael ki im b'tzadikim shebahem. This latter hashgacha of protection is not for all people, rather it's for tzadikim. So this is his presentation of the Ramban. And again, I think you see him here alluding to his discussion in Parshas Bo, and perhaps the resolution is along the lines of what we were saying. I'll just mention a third resolution to the Ramban. This is different than the approach that I've been taking, and that is could be found in a Sifsei Chaim, Rav Friedlander. It's in your source books, but you probably will not be able to read it, because the facts, the scan didn't come out very well. So I'll read it to you. He writes that essentially everything is hashgacha. Rav Friedlander, like many of the contemporary thinkers, Rav Dessler, the Chazon Ish, and going earlier, Nefesh HaChaim, and many, many of the Achronim, certainly the Hasidic thinkers, even going earlier than that, all take for granted that there is absolute hashgacha, meaning to say that everything that happens in this world, leaving aside issues of free will, the relationship between hashgacha and free will is one we'll deal with in just a moment or two, but leaving aside acts of free will, everything is hashgacha in the world. So then he asks, Im kein, yesh lavin ma kavana sheyesh b'nei adam shemushlachim lemikrim. We have to figure out what's the pshat in the Ramban in Bereshis, Yodchas, that some people, the Beinonim, are mushlach lemikra. How could that be? Ela bevadai v'chol haufanim Hashem po'al u'mechavein, ela sheyesh dei hanhagos ha'echad, hu hanagas Hashem im ha-tzadikim, ha-dveikim bo yisborach, she-hasibos ha-tivios ha-regilus lo sholtos aleihen. Essentially, he says that the distinction between the tzaddik and everybody else is that the tzaddik does not have to do hishtadlus, because normal events do not and cannot harm them. Kigon, kasher poretzes dleika shemat be'a sorefes es kol hanikla bedarka. Let's say a fire breaks out, and the nature of this fire is that it's going to destroy everything in its path. He lo tifka betzadik hamusag b'mikrim me'amikrim hativim. It's not going to harm the tzadik. Whereas everybody else has a chiyuv hishtadlus, meaning to say that they have to be mishtadel so as to protect themselves from the fire. That's not to say that it's not hashkacha. It is hashkacha. And anything that happens to anybody is indeed hashkacha. However, there's a chovas hishtadlus on everybody but these tzadikim gemurim. And if a person does not fulfill their obligation of ishtadlus, then as a punishment for that lack of ishtadlus, they might get killed. In other words, if a person does not get out of harm's way, does not leave the burning building, does not flee the city with a magefa, so then they have not done their ishtadlus, and there is indeed a chovas ishtadlus for everybody but these tzadikim gemurim, and that being the case, so if they die in the plague, even if they weren't otherwise worthy of death, they're dying because they failed in their chovas ishtadlus. But it's not a direct cause. It's not that they're dying because of teva. They're dying because of hashkacha. Their sin was not doing hashkacha. And that's how he explains this Ramban. He says that the Ramban in Bo tells us everything, absolutely everything is hashkacha. And the Ramban in Bereshis Yudches tells me that there's a chovas hishtadlos on everybody but tzadikim gemurim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them entirely. If you look at the Lashon of the Ramban in Bereshis, I'm not sure, I think it's a difficult read, but that's another approach to resolving the issue. I'm going to get to your question in just a second. If you want another approach to resolving this contradiction, I included in your source books part of an article by Dr. Berger, who writes about this topic on the Hashkacha in on the Hashkacha, the Shitas HaRamban on Hashkacha Pratis. Again, that's on page 48, 49. Again, you could read it here, but you might have an easier time reading it than the original. The title of the article is Ramban Explorations in His Religious and Literary Virtuoso. That's the book edited by Professor Isidore Twersky. And Dr. Berger's article is entitled Miracles and the Natural Order. I don't remember, it might be reprinted in his... they recently reprinted a lot of his articles in a separate volume. You might be able to find it there as well. just going back to Alex's question about the difference between a Rambam and a Ramban, to be sure, there are some differences. Nobody's going to say that they're the same. First of all, we saw the Ramban saying that the Rambam made a mistake. But just as an example of the differences, take a look on page 37, where you have the Ramban from Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud Aleph and Dvarim, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where he writes, we'll skip towards the end, V'daki anisim lo yasu letovo l'ra'a rak l'tzadikim gemurim o l'rishoyim gemurim, aval beinonim k'derach min hago shalolam yasa bem tovo o rak k'darkam ucha alilosam. So he says that it's only tzadikim gemurim and rishoyim gemurim that experience this extraordinary level of hashkacha or miracles, meaning to say everybody else doesn't experience these types of miracles. Now, what's the idea? Why would Rishayim Gemurim be Zocha, as it were, to this level of Hashgacha? The answer is because it's necessary for purposes of justice. Because a Rasha Gamor needs to, for purposes of justice, of divine justice, as we saw earlier, needs to experience certain things in this world, either so as to prevent him from getting Schar Olam Haba, or for some other reason. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach on Rishayim Gemurim in a way that's similar to the way in which he's Mashkiach on Tzadikim Gemurim. Let's say, for example, there's a Rasha Gamor, or not Gamor, because he has some mitzvos, but a Rasha, Merusha, who has done some zechuyos and is deserving of some reward. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves him to Teva, then he might not experience his full reward in this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in a way similar to the way in which he intervenes for Tzadik Gamor, to make sure that he's protected from Teva. And this is like the Gemara that we saw referred to a couple of weeks ago, that if someone is absolutely protected, doesn't experience any Yisurin for 30 days, so he should be concerned that Shema Kibel Es Olamo. Why? Because such Hashkacha, as the Ramban that we saw then from Shar Gemul, which says that there's protection even from Minhago Shel Olam, is something that only Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishayim Gemurim are Zocha to. Assuming you're not a Tzadik Gamor, so then you're likely a Rasha Gamor, in which case you should get very worried. So this idea is something that the Rambam would presumably never state. Namely, if you view the Rambam's position of Hashkacha as the natural consequence of his closeness to God, so that is the reason why the Tzadik is Zocha to this higher level of Hashkacha, so then it doesn't make any sense that that would apply to a Rasha Gamor. Whereas if you assume that the Ramban maintains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides upon who there should be high level of Hashkacha and who there should be low level of Hashkacha depending on what's appropriate, and like we said before, that the lack of Hashkacha for Beinonim is a conscious decision, almost a form of punishment, so then it makes a lot of sense that both Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishayim Gemurim would experience this high level of Hashkacha. But if you see it as a natural result of their intellectual cleaving to God, so then it wouldn't make sense that this would apply to Rishayim Gemurim. Also, generally speaking, even when the Ramban presents the Rambam's ideas, he does so in a way which does not focus as much on the intellectual component. Yes?
So I think this way of making a statement, the Rambam and the Ramban, so is Hashkacha, is it an awareness in how we relate in our mind to Hashem, or is it an external reality where Hashem actually acts different? That the point of contention?
Only if you read the Rambam in a exceedingly intellectual way. In other words, if you take the Ibn Tibbon approach to the Rambam, which we alluded to last week, so then yes, that's a valid distinction. If you take the more traditional read of the Rambam, in fact, the Ramban's reading of the Rambam, that's not the case. Both of them agree that it's a true external reality. Is it an external reality that's an outgrowth of their natural cleaving? Yes. but it's also an external reality. It's only Ibn Tibbon who basically, among the Rishonim and again numerous more modern scholars who argue that the Rambam holds that there is no external reality affected by Hashkacha. It's entirely based in someone's mind. Okay. Yes.
The Ramban says that Rishonim Gemurim get Hashkacha. Could he just mean like Kriyas Yam Suf Tav Hashkacha?
But then why wouldn't yeah, so if you take the approach,
so
if you
that they're getting punished, and it's God's intervening, just the intervention doesn't have to be positive.
In a Hanami, it might be negative. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be. You're absolutely correct. When he says Rishon Gemurim Gav Hashkacha, might be for a reward, it might be for punishment. Both are possible. But the point is, it's not teva. Okay. Yes.
Is it possible that the Ramban is talking between Jews and
non-Jews? Yes. In numerous places, he is. He talks about how the Hashkacha of the Umos Ha'olam is through the Mazalos and through the Malachim.
I'm saying, in terms of the appearance.
No, because in Bereishis Yod Ches, he's not talking about Gayim. It's true, but it's pretty clear it's not. Look at all the Pesukim he quotes. What's his proof? Einei Hashem El Yireyav. Doesn't say his... Now, there are...
No, meaning what I'm saying is that...
You're saying that there's only... But the Pesuk of Einei Hashem El Yireyav isn't talking about non-Jews. And the Pesuk in Eov isn't. And I think that would be very, very far-fetched, because he should say that. That too, but even if you left that aside. Okay, I'd like to, again, you could spend a lifetime on these Rambans, but I think it's kedai to move on a little bit. The next topic related to Hashkacha that I want to focus on, one which is very important, is the relationship between Hashkacha and free will. In other words, seemingly to some extent there is a contradiction. If there is Hashkacha, if there is free will, then doesn't that limit the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One, this is a issue that's discussed at length in many of the Rishonim, Sefer Chinuch. For example, I'd like to start with you with the presentation of the Rav Sadia Gaon, which could be found in your books on page 62. Here he's explaining the pasuk, "Vatzofek yirek es hacherev ba'a velo taka b'shofar ve'am lo nizhar v'tavo cherev v'tikach me'em nefesh." If there's a guardsman and he's asleep, he doesn't pay attention when the enemy attacks. So the enemy attacks and the camp is not ready, it's not prepared for their onslaught because the guard didn't warn them because he wasn't paying attention. Hu ba'avono nilkach v'damo miyad hatzofed rosh. At the same time, anyone who dies in the attack is deserving of death. They died because of their iniquity. But I shall hold the guard accountable for his lack of fulfilling his responsibilities. Now you might ask, well, that doesn't make any sense. If everyone who died was deserving of death, then why do we hold the guard responsible? And Rav Sadia Gaon writes, I'm going to skip to the larger text, Vishoalim. If someone dies, that's certainly because God wishes them to die because they're deserving of death. No one will ever die because of the free will of the murderer, if they're not deserving of death. V'im kvar chiyav achach mamisa, ilu lo hezid arotea chazeh, v'hargo hayames mesiba cheres. If someone's deserving of death, they will die. They won't die if they're not deserving of death. If this free actor, this murderer, does not choose to kill them, so they'll die some other way. Hayad Hashem Tiktzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu could cause someone to die in many ways. But the two principles, namely Hashkacha, that no one will die unless they're deserving of death, and also free will, that the murderer has freely chosen to commit the crime, both of those statements are true. V'kach ha'inyan beganav, im haya ma'she me'aved Hashem l'miktsas mamon b'nei Adam, o ba'onesh, o lahem o nisayon. If someone is robbed and loses their money, that's because of an onesh or it's because of a nisayon. Manomar b'gneva, ha'im hi ma'isem es Hashem, are we going to say that the gneva was done by God? V'atshuva, ki ha'ibud ma'aseh Hashem. No, the loss of money is surely the ma'aseh Hashem, it's hashkachas Hashem. V'ha'gneva ma'aseh b'nei Adam. V'kasher chiva ha'chachma she'yovad oso adavar, ilu lo ganvo ha'ganav ha'ya'aved ba'ofanim acherim. Since God decreed that he would lose his money, he would have lost it in some other way. If it wasn't going to be stolen, he would have lost it. Would have stocks would have gone down. Whatever it is, harbei shluchim lamakom. V'kach anu shmaya ve'achiv. Here he quotes a Gemara. You could see in footnote 123, which expresses this idea, and the like. This is an idea that could be found in many sources. The Sefer Hachinuch expresses this. You could see that on page 61-62. What is the reason on page 62 for the prohibition against nekama? The reason why nekama is wrong is because we have to recognize that if something bad happens to us, that was because God decreed it. So why should we extract vengeance upon the perpetrator? The Abarbanel on page 64 beautifully expresses how this idea relates to the story of Yosef. How on the one hand, Yosef says that all that happened is because of God. Why should I be angry at you? It's not you who did this, it was God. And at the same time, surely the Shvatim are held accountable for their crime because they did so freely. The answer is that both are true simultaneously. And it is God's infinite wisdom that he's able to make sure that both happen. That on the one hand, everything that happens in the world happens only if the person deserves it, and yet at the second time, there's a preservation of free will. Another place where you see this challenge, this contradiction between free will and between hashgacha, can be seen in a discussion concerning suicide. There's a Gemara on Meseches Seksubos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara, if you take a look, I think it's around page 51 in your source sheets. So the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachin. Shenemar tzinim pachim bederach ikesh shomerim nafsho yirchak mehem. What does that mean? Everything is bidei shamayim except for kor vachom. Meaning to say that if I go out today in the snow and I don't wear a jacket and I get sick, so then I'm an idiot and that's my fault that I get sick. But if I wear a jacket and I get sick or the like, so then, that's bidei shamayim. So take a look at Tosfos over there. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachin. Ma'ad yamrin al yolam yamod adam b'makom sakana. Alma yachol lishmar atzmo min apuranos. V'chein kir natoi dasur lavor tachtav. We know the Gemara tells us that we can't be put ourselves in a dangerous situation. Dasur min apshia yachol lishmar atzmo. Da'avadai shebiyadul hamisis atzmo. He says, no, there's no kasha from there. Obviously, a person could kill themselves. In other words, even though it's true, I'll call bidei shamayim, but if I go ahead and I put myself in a dangerous situation, so of course I could be harmed. Just like it's obvious that a person could kill themselves. Aval kshemivian alav min hashamayim beones yevshel olishmor aval tina upachem liolam al yavo alav beones imrotz elizahir. Okay, Tzinim Upachim, getting the kol, kor v'chom, will not happen to a person if they are careful. But other things will. So Tosfos takes for granted here that biyado l'hamis es atzmo, and that's why a person has to stay away from dangerous situations. Is this so pashat? So if you take a look at the Chovos Halvavos, which is in the previous page, the Chovos Halvavos says no. I'll read from the bolded text towards the middle. The Ofenea Yosher Bibitachon Al Elokim B'chol Inyan Mehem She Yashlich Es Nafsho Bahem Lalichos Hagozer Asher Gazer Lo Habori Mehem V'Tivtach Nafsho Belokim Yisbarach V'yeda Ki Lo Yigmar Lo Mehem Ela Ma Shekadam B'das Habore. The Chovos Halvavos takes a more all-encompassing approach to Ashkacha, and he says that a person should recognize that anything that happens to them is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer. Shehu anachon li'inyanav b'olam hazeh v'olam haba v'yoser tov l'achariso. V'shehanhagas habore lo v'kulam shaveh. With all things equally, there is hashkacha. Ein l'shem b'riyam b'hem etza v'lo hanhaga ela b'rshusav g'zeirasa v'dino. Skipping a little. V'chein ein ra'i la'adam li'kanes b'sakanos b'bitchono. Now he has to deal with Tosis's question. If everything is hashkacha, so then why is it wrong to go into a dangerous situation? It's not a good idea to drink poison. Don't wrestle with lions. Don't jump into fires. You shouldn't do it because the Torah says not to. Lo tenasu nas Hashem Elokeichem ki enenu nimlat b'zeh me'achar mishnei dvarim. Oh, shiamus v'yah hu hameimis es atzmo v'hu nitbal zeh. In other words, if you kill yourself, you're essentially a murderer. Ki ilu heimizu lasom mibnei adam. Af al pi shemoso al derech ahu b'gzeres Elokeichem uvir shuso. Even though when you... a person kills somebody else or kills themselves, that death is b'gzeiras Elokim. In other words, a person cannot, just as a person cannot succeed in killing someone else without their being deserving of death, just like Reuven can't kill Shimon unless Shimon is chayv misa, so too Reuven can't kill himself unless he's chayv misa. But nevertheless, just like we say Reuven is chayv for killing Shimon, even though Shimon's chayv misa, so too it's usher to kill yourself. So it seems, as Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman points out on page 51, that the Chovos Halvavos disagrees with Tosfos. Tosfos says Biado l'hamis es atzmo, and Be'etzem the Chovos Halvavos says no. You'll tell me, you know, chosh makchesh, but the answer is no. You know, there are plenty of attempted suicides that fail, just like there are plenty of attempted murders that fail. And a person couldn't even succeed. So here again we see this issue, the balance of hashkacha versus bechira chafshis. The opposite extreme, in terms of the position of the Chovos Halvavos, can be found in the famous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on Bereishis Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And you could see it in your source books. What page is the Aruch Chaim on? 51? Okay. So the Aruch Chaim says, the Pasuk says, Vayatzileu miyadam, miyad bale bechira. So here's the famous story. Reuven, the brothers are going to kill Yosef. Reuven goes ahead and he protects Yosef. And he has this great einfald. What am I going to do? I'm going to throw him into a pit of scorpions. One second. Scorpions, that's pretty dangerous. Says the Archaim, no. Because if you kill him, so you are Bali Bechira. And you could kill him if even if he's not deserving of death. But animals, like scorpions, will never kill someone unless they're deserving of death. A Bali Bechira could kill someone even that isn't Chayiv Misa. This Aruch Chaim is more or less a Mefurish Zohar, on the very parsha, on this very pasuk, the Zohar writes, V'chilo chayesh ruvein lahai da'ino nechashin v'akravin yenazkun lei? Wasn't Ruvain concerned that the Nechashim Vakravim would harm Yosef? How could we consider Ruvain the savior of Yosef? We know his intention was to save them, as the Pasuk says, but how? Ella, Chama Ruvain de Nizka de Ishtakach biadaihu de Achui, began de Yada Kama Sin Ein Lei, Vira'usa Dilhon Lekatla Lei. The brothers, in their hatred, tried to kill him. Amar Ruvain, Tav leminfa le lego gova de nechashim v'akravin, better he be thrown into a pit of snakes and scorpions, v'lo yismaser biyada de sanui, and not be placed into the hands of those who hate him. De lo mirachmi ale, who won't have compassion upon him. Mikan amru, etc., etc. And essentially what the Or Chaim says is explicitly, seemingly explicitly in the Zohar. There's an interesting discussion in the halachic literature about this point. We don't have time to go into it, though I still have 3 minutes according to the clock, but you can't have it on both ends, right? We know that there's a statement that says you're not allowed to, if a city is besieged by an enemy army and they call for one of the members of the city to be thrown out, let's even say anybody, assuming they're innocent, not like Shava ben Bichri. So the halacha is you're not allowed to give up a person. So the Tiferes Lemoshe writes that this is not true if you wish to do a goral. V'nirali demikol mako mutter limsor et lahem echad al pi goral shiatilu beinehem k'maisi Yonah Navi. You see from Yonah that you're allowed to do a goral. He assumes the sailors were doing the right thing. So others, including this tshuva you have here in your packets from Rav Avadia, Yabi Omer Chelak Vav, Choshen Mishpat Semen Dalad, say this is crazy. It's mihani. She'ech yitachein lismoch al agoral b'dinei nefashos. Even dinei mamonis, we don't do this. And what about his rayos? He brings a raya from Yonah, he brings a raya from the Givonim. We know the story there is that there was a famine in the times of David HaMelech for 3 years. Hashem says it's because of the fact that Shaul killed or took away the parnasa of the Givonim when he killed out Novi Arkohanim. The Givonim say we'll only be appeased if we could hang 7 descendants of David, of Shaul. They go ahead and they determine who's to be hanged by bringing them before the Aron, which he's assuming is the same as a Goral. He says, you see, you could do a Goral. Why? Because a Goral is Hashkacha. And then he brings proof from this Or Chaim and this Zohar. Those that say you're allowed to do goralos say, ah, the biggest raya for goralos is we paskin like this Or Chaim HaKadosh, and the Or Chaim HaKadosh says that it's only a free agent that could kill someone undeserving of death, but anytime it's not a free agent, you can't, right? That is the proof that's brought for the poskim in favor of goralos. And they quote the Or Chaim, they quote the Zohar. So Avadia, if you read here, takes issue with this. We don't have time to go through the whole tshuva. He brings some interesting questions. There is a very fascinating discussion among the poskim to what extent a person could be somech on a goral. There's a letter from the Chafetz Chaim. We don't have time. But it's a fascinating discussion on Hashkacha. All right. We didn't quite finish what I wanted to say, so I guess next week, at the very least, we'll start with Hashkacha, and I'd like to move on, everyone. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and stay safe. Thank you very much.